Today on WETS Community Forum, I'm joined by Joe Cottle, who goes by an interesting nickname, Paleo Joe, a visiting scientist at the Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site. Thank you so much for coming here, Joe.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I've been really looking forward to this interview. Jennifer Barber, who is Director of Marketing, and Blaine Schubert, also the overall executive director of the Gray Fossil Site, told me that you were coming. I think I've known for a couple of months, and I saw that you went by the name Paleo Joe, and Joe Cottle is curating a traveling exhibit called Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas. So trilobites, probably something that people have seen a little bit about in museums. Tell us an introductory statement, Joe, about this exhibit, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas, Trilobite Treasures.
Well, trilobites are the ancient saltwater sea creatures that crawled on the ocean floor many, many years ago. We've got trilobites that are found on every continent. There are over 20,000 different species of these guys. They range in size anywhere from about an eighth of an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch, to over 2 feet long. These things were the ancient lobsters, crabs, and crayfish of the ancient seas.
How long ago were they? Or you said many, many years. Yep. And how long did they last?
They lasted from right around the Middle Cambrian period, about 550 million years ago, to right around 250 million years ago. So they had a reign of about 300 million years. But those creatures are now extinct. They're gone. They're nowhere to be found. Their closest living relative right now is the horseshoe crab. But they are still related to lobsters, crabs, crayfish, insects of all different kinds, millipedes, centipedes. They are arthropods. But their specific type of arthropod is extinct.
And remind us, what type of class of creature is an arthropod?
Arthropods, well, that's what they are. They're crustaceans. They're arthropods.
Okay. And again, we're speaking with Joe Cottle, who is known as Paleo Joe, visiting scientist for the ETSU Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site. Out there, close to the interstate, there's a little bit of construction going on one of the exits. The other one is I think, all finished, but it's certainly possible to get there without much trouble. Just getting back on the interstate might take you a little extra time, but coming into the museum will be very easy. This exhibit is at the Natural History Museum, Joe, through Saturday, November 11th, you said?
Yes, it's going to be here through November 11th. The exhibit is kind of a well-rounded exhibit. It's the most comprehensive traveling exhibit on trilobites in the world right now. So you got a lot of time to go up and see them, but don't wait. These things are on display. They've been around for millions of years, but as people wait longer and longer and longer, they may forget to go up there. Something else may happen. Right now, during the summer, take your kids up there and see it. It's really a great, great exhibit.
This is a better time to go. You can visit so many other things at this museum. It's one of the only museums I know of where, since there is digging going on right at the site, you can at certain times go out and have the folks that are doing the digging show you what they're doing.
That's a wonderful museum. I mean, that's one of the key things. Now, what you've got here is mostly mammals. They're about 5 million years old. Well, when you start talking about trilobites, we're talking about the creatures that lived in the ancient seas that once covered this part of the country. We were once the bottom of an ancient saltwater tropical ocean, and we were probably down near the equator at one point. Okay. But because of plate tectonics, the Earth is constantly moving and shifting and changing. Where Tennessee is now, it was down by the equator back then.
Wow.
So all these types of creatures lived in those ancient saltwater environments. And again, we can find these creatures basically on every continent in the world. We've got lots of them in Cincinnati, Ohio. Great fossil locations there. We've got tons of them in Oklahoma. I've got trilobites there from around the world. I've got them from Russia, from China, from the Czech Republic. I've got them from Africa. There are trilobites from almost every continent in the world. And when you get there, you'll see four distinct sections of the exhibit. You've got discovery, where you walk in and it will kind of educate you. It's a primer to what these things were. They were arthropods. They had a hard shell. They had jointed appendages, which is the definition of an arthropod.
Okay.
Then you go into fossil prep. Now, if you're really into fossils, you got to go to the Gray Fossil Site. Upstairs, they've got a prep lab where you can actually watch the guys prepping mammal bones.
Yep.
Trilobites are totally different. So I have a TV set up, and you can actually watch preparation of a trilobite there. It also tells you what kind of tools and equipment we use. Section number three is actually the trilobite gallery. We have hundreds of trilobites on display, all different sizes, shapes. Some have got spectacular spines and appendages. They're really exciting. And then number four is the art and artifacts of trilobites. I've got trilobite jewelry, trilobite coffee cups. I've got an ancient Chinese snuff bottle made out of a trilobite. Trilobite paperweights, all kinds of things relating to trilobites. So it's really a well-rounded exhibit. If you want to know what trilobites are, you got to go to the Gray Fossil Site.
Well, you have many, many more areas relating to trilobites than I would have ever ever guessed. Specifically, one of those last ones, if you're telling me that there's ancient Chinese jewelry made with these, that means the people of thousands of years ago were discovering trilobite fossils.
Absolutely. There is one discovery that we've made fairly recently in a Native American site. We've actually found a rolled up trilobite that actually comes from Ohio. It's a Flexicalamini miki, who cares about that kind of name, but it's a trilobite that they found in Utah. It had a hole drilled through it, and it was found at a Native American site. So obviously it shows trading between the Native Americans back and forth across the country, and somehow they ended up with this trilobite in Utah, and they used it as a necklace or something like that.
Started pushing with the push broom, and the first thing I saw was a small piece of this bone right here. Took the push broom, threw it over my shoulder, pulled out my paintbrush, and started brushing away. And that bone got larger and larger and larger until I discovered the tibia right here. Right after that, I started moving a little bit uphill a little bit, and I found another bone right there that I believe is the fibula that comes down and attaches down here. On top of that, I did find some pieces of the hip bone. Now, this bone right here I didn't find last year. This was all covered by dirt. A lot of this opening right here, this hole, that was all still full of dirt, and there were still some bones in there. But the crews, since I was here last year, had already been starting to remove a lot of the bones. So down here we find the hip structure of this dinosaur, a Camarasaurus. Well, after I found all those, I said, well, okay, that's fantastic. I wanted to look for something else. So I picked up my push broom and I moved up the hill about 6 or 7 feet, started brushing with my push broom, and sure enough, I found the distal end of a humerus. And again, being so excited, I found it. I threw the push broom over my shoulder, got down with my hands and knees on that humerus, and I started brushing with the brush. And the more I brushed, eventually I ended up with a humerus the size of my arm. From there, I started moving uphill just a little bit, and I found one scapula, then the other scapula, and then I found the coracoid. So I had discovered basically the hip structure and the shoulder structure of a Camarasaurus dinosaur.
Again, Joe Codel, Paleo Joe, is here on WETS Community Forum, a visiting scientist who is curating a traveling exhibit called Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas. It is set up in the main room.
Right behind the Triceratops. If you go, you walk in, you turn left behind the Triceratops.
Yeah. Right, so it's the most prominent room. And this is, of course, the Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site on Suncrest Drive in Gray, Tennessee. And Joe Codel told me that he has been curating this exhibit for several years. It looks like, 10 years?
Yep. I started it back in 2005. It basically toured the Midwest. It toured Michigan for quite a long time. It went to Wisconsin and toured there for a year. It went to Iowa. So it was kind of the upper Midwest where it was, and that's kind of where I'm from, so I kind of kept the exhibit fairly local. Then I took it off the road, and I upgraded it, put a lot more into it, and then I started back on the road again. It just left Evansville, Indiana a couple days ago. Here it is in Gray, Tennessee. When it leaves here, it's going up to Kentucky Gateway Museum, that's going down to the Shield Museum in North Carolina. So I'm trying to get the people in this part of the country a chance to see these creatures, because you don't really get a chance to see them that often. You see other things here, like, for example, the Gray Fossil Site, lots of mammals, but you don't really get a chance to see the trilobites.
Right.
And, you know, oddly enough, trilobites are taught in schools. When they talk about third and fourth grade, when they talk about fossils, trilobites are one of the ones that they talk about. So pretty much every child has heard what a trilobite is.
I remember
now
that.
They get to a chance to see it.
Trilobites, that's something that we've heard a lot about, as Joe said. This is Paleo Joe, Joe Codel, who is here with the traveling exhibit, Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas. He's been curating this on a tour everlasting since 2005. Is this your main gig right now, Joe?
Well, great question. I'm a freelance paleontologist.
Oh my God. I'm lucky.
I get to do whatever I want to do. I write children's books. I've got a series of 5-chapter books out on dinosaurs. I write adult books. I do some touring in colleges and universities. I do school programs. I do library programs for kids. I've got 3 traveling museum exhibits. This is just one of them. The other one is Dinosaur Prep Lab, where I take the prep lab around in museums. I set it up and actually clean dinosaur bones for the public. And then I've got another one. It's called Fossils of the Michigan Basin, but I'm going to change the name of that to Fossils of the Ancient Seas. And that one includes corals, crinoids, brachiopods, prehistoric fish, all the different creatures that lived in the ancient tropical oceans that, again, once covered the central part of the United States.
Paleo Joe here on Community Forum talking about his exhibit at the Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site, Trilobite Treasures, making me extremely jealous now, telling me what he has decided to do for a living. I mean, that's brave. Even though it's easy to be jealous of you, I can tell that you're striking out in some unusual career paths that may not have existed before you invented them.
Right, right. Well, you know, I was a director of a science museum. Now it's got to be about 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about museum exhibitry.
Okay.
But when we brought in these large exhibits from other museums, it took 15 men and a horse to put together. So I learned from that experience, and I created these exhibits where I can move that exhibit around very easily by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can set it up, I can tear it down, I can move on to the next location. And that's what makes this exhibit so unique, and that's why I can travel it so well.
Okay.
But I got sick and tired of wearing a suit and tie every day, so 13, 14 years ago, I just said, forget it. I'm going to go out on the road and be a paleontologist, which is what my lifelong goal has been.
Do you need a groupie?
Yeah, I'd love a groupie. Yeah.
I can be a really good road manager.
All right.
I think I'm right there.
Well, I'm really excited about the Gray Fossil Site up in Gray, Tennessee, because for the last 8 years, I've been digging sauropods, the large long-necked dinosaurs out west in Utah, and I really want to get myself out back and see what they're doing out there, because you've got lots of great creatures here. You've got alligators and tapirs and a shovel-nosed mammoth, mammoth. All these creatures that lived here so long ago, they're right out behind the back door, and it's just a great site for people to go visit. They can go out and watch the paleontologists actually work.
Incredible.
Yep.
Blaine Schubert told me that someone tried to calculate how many tens of thousands of years it was going to take them to dig up that whole site, and it might be that our species doesn't last long.
That's the problem we're having out west in Utah. We've got a site that's going to take about another 150 years of digging to get all the sauropods out of the ground. There's that many bones out there, and the trilobite sites are just like that. There's a site in Mount Orab, Ohio, where a guy has purchased some property. He's got a digger out there, and as he moves the earth back, he's digging in the rocks there, and there are fossils literally popping out of the rocks, trilobites by the dozens, by the hundreds. There's a place like that in New York, in Middleport, New York. There's a place like that in Oklahoma. I mean, these creatures are out there, and there's so many of them. And like I said, over 20,000 different species of these guys, ranging in size from about a quarter of an inch to over 2 feet long.
And we're still finding new ones today.
Always. We're always finding new species of trilobites. Some of them are because of the way we're prepping them. In years past, we didn't have the technological advances, the tools that we have today. So in the past, we'd be kind of hacking away with a chisel and dental picks, and we might break off some spines. If you come to the museum, you're going to see one trilobite that has 57 freestanding spines on it. The spines are standing straight up in the air. When you see this guy, you can imagine that in years past, we'd have broken all those off, didn't even know they were there. But now with the technology we have, we can actually make those spines just stand right up. So we may have rediscovered some that we've discovered before.
Joe Codel, Paleo Joe, here on Community Forum, visiting scientists with the Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site, has a new traveling exhibit, new to us, although Joe's been doing this for several years, Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas. And one random question that came to mind I haven't asked yet. If you said that these go back to 250 million years ago, and you mentioned that parts of Tennessee or Ohio or Kentucky were like down at the equator, it sounds like trilobites go back to the time of Pangaea?
Yes.
That's a mind blower to me.
Yeah, as the continents were breaking up, there were shallow seas being formed around the equator, and those seas began to be populated by these creatures. And as the continents split apart and kept moving further away, they would die and get buried, and the fossilization process would begin. And now here we are, and 350, 400, 500 million years later, they're scattered all over. Georgia has a great site down in the Conasauga Shale, and they've got trilobites there that are 500 million years old.
My goodness, man. So they lasted a long time.
Yes, they lasted a very long time.
And I wasn't aware until you said it how long ago they became extinct.
Yes.
When trilobites died out, were dinosaurs coming around yet?
Not yet. They died off at the end of the Permian period, and they call it the Permian extinction. And the Permian extinction killed off about 95% of life on Earth. The great dinosaur, extinction, that didn't kill off that many.
Right.
So the Permian extinction was much, much larger than
larger
the dinosaur
event.
Extinction. Yeah.
And we hear so much about that other one, later one.
Yep.
Okay.
It's hard because when you start going back that far, it's hard to find the smoking gun. And, you think about the meteor strikes, and you think about the vulcanization of the Earth, all volcanoes going off everywhere, just the changing environment, changing oxygen levels, changing temperatures. The Earth is a very dynamic thing. It's always moving and shifting and changing. Mm-hmm. And that's why we get some of these mass extinctions, and something will happen, and that's it.
could be cataclysmic or long-lasting, but
yes.
Always changing. Paleo Joe Codle on Community Forum, talking about the exhibit, Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Seas at the Natural History Museum and Gray Fossil Site, 1212 Suncrest Drive, right off I-26 in Gray. And Joe has told us it starts today and will be on display through November 11th.
For more information on me, they can go to paleojoe.com. Yeah. My website, paleojoe.com. I'm also on Facebook, but better go to my website. I've got radio shows, TV shows. I've got stories. My fossil dig stories are posted on there. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of information that the kids can use and understand.
Paleo Joe, it's just been a pleasure talking to you. Joe Codle, Joseph Codle, curator of Trilobite Treasures, Arthropods of the Ancient Sea, which you can see at the Natural History Museum beginning this weekend, running through November 11th. Joe, thank you so much for coming here.
It's been such a pleasure. I love the hospitality of all you Tennesseans down here. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for hosting the exhibit.